WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday. I call it Friday, May 5th, 2017. That's right, you've made it. The end of the week is here, and many of you just have a few more hours left, and the weekend begins. Well, I tell you what, we are always honored when you allow us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We plan on closing out your week with a bang by, of course, providing you with a fun-filled 60 minutes of sports talk right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about a former Michigan State University football player who is now in the National Football League. However, he will be suspended due to a performance-enhancing drug violation. We'll tell you who that is in just a moment. Also, LeVar Ball. Oh, boy, this whole LeVar and Lonzo situation is quite interesting, right? Well, get this. The Balls decided to put out the first shoe, I guess you can say, for LeVar, who was a great player for UCLA in his freshman year. Of course, he declared for the NBA draft. He'll probably go either one or two, projected at least, in this year's upcoming NBA draft. Well, his dad, Lonzo, has been, of course, going on this entire tour and campaign for how good his son and sons are on the hardwood. He believes his son is so good that people will actually buy his new basketball shoe for the price tag of almost $500. Can you believe that? We'll talk about that. We will also be premiering a brand new segment here on WKAR's Current Sports. It's one that we actually have been publicizing since actually last week. And it's entitled The Swap Meet with James Moore. James Moore, former Michigan State University fullback great who balled out for the 1988 Michigan State Rose Bowl championship team. He is the founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign, which is designed to really a philanthropic endeavor designed to speak to today's youth and today's parents about how to better our society. The Swap Meet, a motivational segment coming your way later on this hour. You don't want to miss that. We will also, on the back end of the show, talk about how horrendous this year's second round of the NBA playoffs have been. We'll preview the Kentucky Derby, and we will reflect, just like we do each and every Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports, reflect on the week that has been here on the show and beyond with Reflection Friday. If you want to be a part of our Current Sports airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on our airwaves, or even tweet us via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with news concerning a former Michigan State University football player, that being captain, former MSU captain, Max Bulla, who has been suspended by the National Football League for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. The linebacker will miss the Houston Texans' first four games next season and be eligible to return the day after its October 1st game against the Tennessee Titans. The Traverse City native is eligible to participate in Houston's off-season activities and preseason games and workouts, according to a statement from the NFL. Bulla was suspended at Michigan State, and if you remember the most recent Rose Bowl bid for Michigan State University, Bulla was not a part of it. He did not play in that Rose Bowl for an unspecified, quote, violation of team rules, end quote, on December 25th back in 2013. He issued a statement via Twitter about his four-game ban. We'll dive more into that later on in this hour, and really briefly here to piggyback off of course, Bulla being suspended for that Rose Bowl game. There were a lot of rumors swirling around that, yes, it was because of Bulla possibly using PEDs. Just rumors, nothing confirmed, all right? Moving on. Mercer College football coach Bobby Lamb, he tweeted earlier this week that the University of Michigan college football program will be part of the Super Elite Camp on June 2nd out in Georgia. Now, the camp is at least 15 schools with Mercer. Lamb tweeted that this week. Now, that joins the Wolverines' other Georgia appearance at actually Georgia State on June 4th. Looks like Wolverine head coach Jim Harbaugh. This is smart. He's trying to make his mark in the South and possibly pluck some of that talent. Smart man. I see what you're doing, Jim Harbaugh. I see what you're doing, dude. And moving on, speaking of Michigan football, Michigan's football team will play Western Michigan University in 2018 and Middle Tennessee State and Army in 2019. The Broncos revealed their game on social media, tweeting the teams will meet September 8, 2018 in Ann Arbor. The schools last played in 2011, a 34-10 U of M win. Middle Tennessee State University will come to the AA on August 31st, 2019 to open that season, followed by Army on September 7th. U of M will then have a bye before hosting Notre Dame on October 26th. Both acclaimed swimmers, Michael Phelps and Allison Schmidt, spoke last night as part of National Children's Mental Health Awareness Day. Now, Schmidt and Phelps, the most decorated Olympians of all time with 28 medals, I should say, for Phelps, were chairpersons of the event. Now, it was hosted by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration at George Washington University. The year before the 2016 Rio Olympics, Schmidt opened up about her depression publicly during interviews with the Associated Press and the Baltimore Sun. She was devastated by the death of her younger cousin, April Bosian, who committed suicide a week after her 17th birthday. Phelps said he battled depression at three different stages after returning home from competing in the Olympics. Mad props to both of those decorated athletes for opening up about such an important topic. Seeing people of their stature address challenges in an area like that really does give courage to others around the globe to do the same. Love that story. Michigan State baseball returns to McLane Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field to host Iowa in a three-game Big Ten Conference weekend series starting today and running through Sunday. Returning home after playing on the road the last two weekends, Friday's series opener is slated for a 3:05 p.m. first pitch, so just a couple hours from now, while Saturday and Sunday have a 1:05 p.m. start time. This is Iowa's first visit to East Lansing since 2012. Michigan State sits at 23-17, 7-8 in the Big Ten Conference. Iowa at 27-16 overall, 9-6 in conference. Michigan State softball will head to Indiana for a three-game Big Ten series to wrap up the regular season. Michigan State has won six of its last nine games, with the last two losses coming via walk-off hits by the home team in the bottom of the seventh. The Spartans sit at 27-20 overall, 9-10 in the Big Ten. After rain washed away his home start on Thursday, Detroit's Michael Fulmer will be on the mound in a drier and slightly warmer Coliseum today when the Tigers and Athletics begin a three-game series. Now, the opener will pit Fulmer against Oakland's Andrew Triggs, who is off to a stellar 4-1 start with a 1.84 ERA, the 10th lowest mark for a major league starter this season. How cool is that, right? Catch tonight's game at 10:05 p.m. Glover Quinn would like to sign a contract extension and finish his career with the Detroit Lions. Quinn is entering his fifth and final year of the contract he signed with the Lions in 2013. He has not missed a game. Talk about durability, right? While anchoring the defensive backfield and producing 16 INTs in four seasons. And last but not least, Lonzo Ball's first signature sneaker was unveiled exclusively by Slam Magazine yesterday, just days after it was reported that Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour were not interested in partnerships with LeVar Ball's big baller brand. Now, according to Slam, the Zoe 2 Prime, that's the name of the shoe, sounds like a robot, right? Will retail for $495 because big baller brand is, quote, aiming for Lonzo's signature sneaker to tap into a new market above the athletic performance kicks from the likes of Nike, Jordan, Adidas, and Under Armour, but below the high-end designer shoes of Gucci, Prada, or Louis Vuitton, end quote. Wow, that's a really bougie sentence, I must say. All right, Big Baller Brand has also made a limited edition Zoe 2 Wet that comes personally autographed by Lonzo Ball in a clear acrylic case with white LED lights. The Zoe 2 Wet retails, forget this, knocking on the door of $1,000 a G. $995. You gotta be kidding me. The collection's third item is a Zoe 2 signature slide, which are basically flippy floppies, flip flops. Those retail for $220. So clearly, the balls aren't speaking to our demographic. Those are your current sport, unless you're balling like that. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/current sports, where we are currently live streaming the show. If you want to see this beautiful face, you can also weigh in there. I'll read your comments live here on our airwaves, and you can tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. Let's start the show.
One simple word has taken the NFL by storm, and that word is Adderall. Listen, guys, players, learn from this. It doesn't matter what your excuse is. If you put it in your mouth, you test positive for something, the NFL, they have a zero tolerance policy. They don't care where your excuse is. Brings me back to a story years ago. Remember former running back Mike Cloud one time tested positive for Nandrolone. He had a chocolate protein powder shake. That's it, that he bought from a supermarket. Brought it to the NFL. The NFL said, that's what it is. That was tainted. That was laced. We don't care. You're still suspended. Guys, zero tolerance. If you put it in your mouth, you test positive, they're gonna get you.
And that is how we start this Friday afternoon of WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Friday. This week has flown by. Is it just me? I feel like I say that every single Friday, though, because we have a lot of fun here on our airwaves. Here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Time flies when you're having fun. You know the saying. And we have a ton of fun each and every weekday afternoon. Again, so glad, so honored you allowed us to join your Friday afternoon for another week. We've got a great show in store for you guys. Right now, as I stare beyond the glass, we've got James Moore that will be joining me around the 1:30 mark to premiere a brand new, fresh, hot off the presses segment entitled Swap Meet. The Swap Meet with James Moore. Yeah, a segment that is going to be dedicated really to motivating you all as you head into your weekend, giving you something to really think about. And today's debut topic for James is going to be centered on social media. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I've not heard James's spiel. He's got something prepared for you. He's got a message that he wants to hammer home. And we encourage you all to be a part of the conversation as well. What do you think about social media as it concerns today's youth? And how can parents try, keyword try, to police it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Looking forward to that segment. Of course, very timely, seeing as though Demetrius Cooper decided to go on Snapchat and down a bottle of Hennessy. I gave a rant on that yesterday, right? Go to our podcast at WKAR.org if you want to hear that rant. Keeping it pushing, though. Got to start with more negative news when it comes to the Michigan State football program. A former player, that being Max Bulla. Household name. The Bulla name is a household name in MSU football lore. Max was a former captain for the team. Many people remember, you know, he was a part of that team that went to the Rose Bowl. Darian Harris. And, I mean, just a lot of big names on that squad, right? Tony Lippitt. I could go on and on and on. First time Michigan State had gone to the Rose Bowl since actually James Moore participated in the Rose Bowl in the late 80s. We were down there covering it. I was down there with Alex Sharg, one of my favorite moments as a sports reporter here. And Max did not play, though, in that Rose Bowl for a reason that we still don't know why. Still a lot of question marks concerning why in the world did Max Bulla not play in that game. We're talking about a captain here, a leader, an anchor for this squad. Didn't play, though, right? And there were a lot of rumors that surrounded around Bulla during that moment, many of which centered around PEDs. Saw it online left and right. Let's not ignore it, right? Many of you guys tweeted out there, many of you Spartan football fans tweeting, oh, I heard that he was on performance-enhancing drugs, and that's why he didn't play. We don't know. We don't really know the reason. However, when you hear a story like this, again, which actually led our current sports quick hit headliners, former MSU captain Max Bulla has been suspended by the NFL for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. He will now miss the Houston Texans' first four games next season and will be eligible to return the day after its October 1st game against the Tennessee Titans. Briefly here, I want to go to what you just heard before that funky groove. Jay Glazer, who is a contributor for NFL.com and also an analyst on NFL Fantasy Live. That was a snippet, actually, from Jay Glazer. Well, I'm a big fan of. I think Jay does great work. He's got so many connections in the National Football League. He knows his stuff for sure. And I like watching him on HBO's Ballers as well. I think he's a pretty good actor, if you ask me. Anyway, Jay Glazer, he's good at his job. But that's a snippet from 2012. November of 2012, when Jay led his word of mouth segment when discussing the NFL's zero tolerance policy on drugs. If you're caught with a banned substance, a substance that on the NFL's list of drugs you cannot have in your system, if you're caught with one of those substances in your body, there's a zero tolerance policy. You're automatically suspended for games. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, hearing that snippet from Jay Glazer, I was curious just to, you know, kind of try and look up some things as to how prevalent performance-enhancing drugs are in the world of football. I mean, when you hear PEDs associated with professional sports nowadays, what is the sport that automatically comes to mind? I'll wait. You probably yelled it in your car just then. Baseball, right? Major League Baseball. That's the big conversation that we all indulge in when discussing performance-enhancing drugs and its quote-unquote detriment to America's pastime. We always have that conversation with baseball. Rarely do we have that conversation in football, though. Just a different dynamic. And the NFL's drug policy and how lenient they've been over the years is well documented as well, especially with this whole concussion discussion, right? How many times have we heard former players say, oh, yeah, the NFL used to have painkillers in a bowl like they were just free Skittles handed out after every single game? So I looked up an article. You know, when I immediately Googled NFL and performance-enhancing drugs, an article actually came from NFL media analyst, and he is actually the current host of American Ninja Warrior. I've seen him a few times on that show. But Akbar Baja Biamilia. You remember that guy, Isaac? And I nailed that name. I practiced it about 20 times.
That was great.
You like that? That just flowed off. I'm not going to say his name again. But Akbar, he basically, you know, he wrote an article. He contributed to NFL.com. and wrote an article as to what his experiences was like when he played in the NFL. If you look at his track record, Akbar, he played for the Oakland Raiders from 03 to 04, went to the San Diego Chargers in 2006, the Miami Dolphins in 2007, and the Oakland Raiders in 2008. So he played in the NFL, went to San Diego State. He's from L.A., Crenshaw, to be exact, and he's pretty good on the air, I must say. So he contributes from time to time with the NFL Network. He's an NFL media analyst, and he had a great article that was very honest and open about what he saw throughout his playing days when it comes to PEDs. And I want to just kind of highlight a few snippets from this article. I want to read a few graphs as to where, because he actually used PEDs. He openly admits it now. I mean, he's not playing in the NFL anymore, so he can kind of open up and give you a sneak peek into what players were and are currently doing in the league. I want to read a few graphs here. Quote, my decision to find a viable edge started at Crenshaw High School in Los Angeles, where I discovered MetRx protein powder and bars during a visit to a food trade show. He goes on to say, using this physical enhancing supplement during my senior year, it allowed me to make the biggest jump in muscle mass, production, and confidence. I saw instant results going from 196 pounds to 214 and felt like I had a tool that worked for me. Then he goes on to talk about his college experience, right? And this is the point I want to hammer home when reading this first off. The reason why Akbar decided to use quote-unquote PEDs is because it's so competitive in sports. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a crab-in-the-bucket mentality for a lot of guys because everybody's trying to make it. Everybody's trying to find that edge. And if you do find that edge, it can lead to millions of dollars in professional sports. So going on, you heard what he used in high school, right? He used a physical enhancing supplement entitled MetRx protein powder and bars to enhance his muscle mass. Quote, when I got to San Diego State, the stage was bigger and the pressure was more intense. That's when almost the entire team was introduced to creatine monohydrate. That stuff tasted nasty, but it was a popular supplement used by athletes to increase lean muscle mass, strength, and energy. The human body naturally makes creatine to supply energy to the muscles. We were required by the strength coach to take, again, required by the strength coach, required by the strength coach to take this enhancement in cycles. And I saw a gain in both size and strength. So here we have something, Isaac, where while at San Diego State, he's actually encouraged to take a supplement by the strength coach at San Diego State University. Quite interesting, right? And then the NFL, the National Football League. He goes on to say this, quote, in the NFL, it didn't take long for me to be introduced to the next step up in PEDs. In 2003, my rookie season with the Oakland Raiders, we were on the road against the Tennessee Titans. In the locker room before the game, I kept hearing guys talk about the T-Train. I thought it was an inside joke about the Titans. I was wrong. That day, I discovered the T-Train was Toradol, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. It works by reducing hormones that cause inflammation and severe pain in the body. Guys were lined up like cattle to get the shot from the team doctors. I saw one teammate after the next getting injected and in either the shoulder or the buttocks with a concoction of Toradol and vitamin B12. Then he goes on to say this, quote, one veteran player looked at me and said, quote, take a shot of that and you won't feel a thing when you play, end quote. I jumped in line and that was the beginning of my Toradol dependency. After my first shot, let it be known, I hate needles. I heard someone yell across the locker room, quote, once you get on the T-train, you won't get off, end quote. Wow, a very revealing article that stood out to me that has a direct correlation to this conversation. Again, Max Bulla, former Michigan State University football captain, who is now a player in the NFL with the Houston Texans, suspended the first four games of the year due to PEDs. Briefly, Isaac, I want to let you chime in on this. I want to read the statement that Max put out via social media in regards to this story. Quote, as a dedicated member of this team, it is very disappointing to have to miss the first four games of the season and not be out there with my teammates. I sincerely apologize to my family, the entire Texans organization, my teammates, and our fans for this situation. It is my responsibility to know the ingredients of every supplement that I use, so I take full responsibility for what happened and will work as hard as I can to be ready to contribute when I return. Isaac, you just heard what Akbar had to say during his time in the NFL and how there was just, it was a normal thing for guys to use performance-enhancing drugs because there is a lot of pressure to perform, and in many ways, sometimes those drugs can give you a performance advantage against the rest of the pack. If you perform well on the field, that naturally leads to dollar signs, right? What do you got to say about Max getting caught?
You're exactly right. You hit it on the head. It's all about the dollar signs at the end of the day when it comes to PEDs. This isn't about some natural competitive drive in my mind. Sometimes it's, who did you come up with? When did you first start taking it? When were you introduced to some sort of performance enhancement? But I think everybody also has to be candid about this issue and ask themselves, if I'm a fringe player, if I'm going to be what, a sixth round pick, a seventh round pick, I might not even make a team. Am I willing to risk my entire future, retirement fund, all of that, on morality, on some sort of integrity, something like that? I mean, I think there's an actual question out there which relates to a lot of different people of, would you take it in that same situation? I think that in the game, unfortunately, it does give you such an advantage. And in some games, more than others. Baseball, obviously, HGH was the way to elevate your game to the next level, to break the home run record, for example. In cycling, that's a way to win seven Tour de France championships. If you don't take it, you're at a disadvantage. Right. In football, it's a little bit different. But at the same time, if it can give you that slight edge, elevate you slightly, it does make sense. Notice that in Bowles' statement on social media, he doesn't defend it. He doesn't try to hide from it or anything like that. He essentially just says, I'm sorry, I should have known what I was taking. I believe that he probably did know what he was taking, but I'll go on and try to get better from this. But as much as this is stigmatized, this is also something that I think can be overplayed from time to time.
I look at it this way, and again, I've made the same argument when it comes to the game of baseball. I can only imagine what the pressure is like for these guys to go out there and do their job and perform, knowing that many of them probably are using PEDs. It's hard for me, you know, just to look at the entire spectrum here. Let's just say, I mean, because every job that we do, every job that we have, no matter what that occupation is, no matter what that profession is, you have to perform if you want to keep that job and if you want to get a raise here or there, right? You have to be good at what you do. Isaac, if I knew there was a potion out there that if I was to drink this potion right in my cup,
he's
right
got
now,
it in his hand.
Yeah, I'm grabbing a cup of coffee right now, my usual coffee that I drink before every show.
That is your potion.
This is my potion. This is my potion. This probably this is my PED, right? But okay, but figuratively here, if there was a potion out there that if I drank it and did my show every day, I would have a better show, and that would directly lead to higher ratings. If there was a radio genie out there that said, Al, if you take this, your show will be the top show in the world, the top show in the area. You better believe I'm drinking that without a doubt. You better believe that. James Moore stands up like, yeah, you better believe that, brother. Yeah, I mean, you better believe I'm taking that if it directly leads to me being good at my job and success for current sports, okay? If I'm not doing something to better our listenership here, to better the overall product here, it's a detriment. It truly is. And you better believe, you ask any other radio host in this area or in the state of Michigan, if there was a magic potion out there, they would certainly take it, right?
Well, that's the other part of this deal, too. It's that not only are you expected to perform to a certain level,
for sure,
you're expected to perform to a certain level in comparison to others. So
if everybody else
is taking it,
or if everybody
else isn't, you want that leg up. You want that advantage, whatever it is. You at least want to be on an equal platform.
Now, NFL can't condone that, obviously, because they can't condone taking certain drugs that you know, are a threat to the integrity of the game. So they have to defend that. And then it leads me to my second point here. I mean, I'm curious. I would love to look up what exactly is the timeline as to when the NFL drug tests you. Because there's a lot of guys doing this, I'm sure. But I believe it's just random. Isn't it just
random
when every single week you don't know if you're going to be tested? I don't know how many players they choose on a week-by-week basis, how many players they choose during the offseason. But it's so random, so you kind of always have to be on your heels. And I guess, guys, when you see guys willing to take that risk, knowing that it's random, they'll bite the bullet for four games if, when they come back, they're still going to be performing to a high level. So, in a way, I try to look at things from every angle here. I see why Riley Bulla decided to go this route, especially a guy. Max Bulla decided to go this route when he's trying to fight for a roster spot because it is so much pressure. He doesn't have a guaranteed roster spot out there, and we all know that the shelf life of an NFL player is not that great. When it comes to his overall production, Max, you know, you look at that inside linebacker spot. The inside linebacker, Max Bulla, started in place of Brian Cushing when the veteran was injured early last season. Bulla was actually pretty productive, 25 tackles in 2016 in his third NFL season. The Texans, what did they do? They drafted inside linebacker Zach Cunningham in the second round, and he could see some time now that Bulla is suspended. So this could end up biting Bulla in the rear end here. However, it just kind of puts in perspective just how tough it is to make a roster spot, make that 53-man roster spot in the National Football League.
You're exactly right. Max Bulla was, as you said, he's fighting for a spot. He was an undrafted free agent in 2014. That makes a difference. Like you said, you're vying for that position. And the NFL plays a hell of a lot better than the CFL does. You know, this is not only what you're getting paid currently. Like I said, this is your retirement fund. For somebody like Max Bulla, I can see the logic, and why I'd pose a question, too, is how many times has a team actually cut a player for using PEDs? Like you said, this is a shot that you take for the team in all literal senses and figurative senses of the word. This is a shot you take for the team, and going from there, you just kind of see what it does for your performance, and you hope it does the best for everybody.
Bulla, entering the final season of his contract, he will be a restricted free agent next offseason. And to close out things, if you look at it, Akbar also, Baja Biamilia, I nailed it again, there we go. In his article, in the last few graphs, he talks about how common the drug Adderall is. Actually, when I was in college at Michigan State University, a lot of students use Adderall to focus and to get through finals week, right? Which was this week, and graduation's taking place right now. Congratulations to the students out there crossing that stage at the Breslin Center and other venues across campus. But yeah, Adderall is also a drug that Akbar brings up. Again, it stimulates your focus, concentration, your memory. And he goes on to say this, quote, between meetings, film study, weight training, and practice, a typical day at the team facility during the season lasts approximately 8 hours. And it doesn't end there. When you get home, you're expected to study more film, extending your day an additional 3 hours. I know what some of you are thinking. If you're making millions, you better do what it takes. And for the most part, most of us do, or did in my case. But with that much academic intensity, typically NFL players spend more than 40 hours a week studying game film, mixed in with a daily physical practice, you need some sort of aid to stay competitive. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will debut a brand spanking new segment here on Current Sports, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. The Swap Meet premieres with James Moore. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky fresh Friday, May 5th, 2017. I'm going to get to this later on in the hour, but this whole thing when it comes to Lonzo Ball and LaVar Ball and his shoes. The shoes are $495. That's just ridiculous. I'm going to get to that later on in the hour because that certainly irked me. Also, I'm going to highlight briefly the NBA playoffs. This second round has been just want to go to sleep, dude. So boring. I sat up and I thought at least one of those games last night were going to be competitive, especially the Boston and Wizards game. All right. Well, I'll save my spiel for that. In the meantime, our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of our airwaves. And right now, I am so excited because right now, live in Studio S, we have a dear friend of the show by the name of James Moore. For all of you MSU football fans out there, you know that name, James Moore. He's been on the show multiple times. James Moore, former fullback for the 1988 Michigan State Rose Bowl champs. He has gone on to do some great things in the community. My favorite thing he's done is the SWAP campaign. Speaking with a purpose. SWAP, right? A great philanthropic endeavor that speaks directly to our youth here in the area and beyond. Also, parents. Speaking on things, you know, that really irk us in the community. When it comes to today's youth, trying to provide them with encouragement, motivation, and trying to pinpoint the problems that today's youth and beyond simply go through. So with James speaking here in Mid-Michigan, we thought it'd be great to bring his own segment to AM 870, 94.5 FM right here on Current Sports. This segment is entitled The Swap Meet with James Moore, and I'll stop giving you this great elaborate introduction. Let's just dive right into it. The Swap Meet with James Moore premieres right now.
Wow. Speaking with a purpose.
That's, you know, great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'll be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Hey, good afternoon, Lansing and Spartan Nation. James Moore here. Hey, my first topic that we wanted to talk about was social media. And it happened to fall this week right after these other situations have happened. What I want to do is ask a couple questions. Are we allowing social media to raise our kids? Are we giving our kids voices? What do we do about this? I worked for the Lansing School District for several years, and I've seen a lot of situations with kids and cell phones and social media. Don't get me wrong, social media is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, but it has to be used in the right way. And what's happening now is kids are taking advantage of it and really not paying attention and not knowing what they're doing. So with that being said, we're going to open up a conversation between Al and I about this, because I have several things that I want to discuss with him about social media.
So we want to make this interactive. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And James, this is a topic that we find very timely, right? As I mentioned, previewing this segment, Demetrius Cooper, former, I believe Demetrius is no longer part of the program now. I believe that's what I read on Free Press. And we can double check that, Isaac. Demetrius Cooper, former MSU defensive lineman, of course, called on social media, violating a plea deal in which he was not supposed to use alcohol. And now he has a hearing on May 11th at 1:30 p.m. We don't know what's going to come of that, but a lot of us can pretty much guess. But you look at how young folks use social media nowadays. James, what do you see when it comes to today's youth and the way they use social media?
Right now, the kids are reaching for something that they're not getting at home. They are just reaching and grabbing. When kids are born, parents are depending on them, okay? And as kids get a little older, they get to that point where they want independency. And that's when the kids start making different choices or bad choices. What needs to happen is we need to have that interdependency. Interdependency is where the mom, dad, the children are coming together as a team and working at it together, because that interdependency is what's happening. It's dependent. Kids want what they want. And that cell phone and the social media, they are all over the place. All over the place with it.
When it comes to athletes, do you think that, because I have the opinion that when it comes to athletes today, especially when you come to a Division I university, a lot of them, it's hard to not think this when you look at Demetrius Cooper for the MSU football team. A lot of them don't realize just how big the spotlight is on them. I mean, they go from big wigs in high school, right? But it's another thing when you come to a Division I university like Michigan State University as a player. They don't realize how big that spotlight is, and they think they can just act reckless like they did back in the day. Where is Michigan State and other universities, I should ask, are they dropping the ball in mentoring kids in this area?
We're dropping the ball across the board because it's happening so often. Mm-hmm. Okay? What we see and what we hear of is happening more than what we're hearing and seeing. We gotta find a solution to this because it starts at a younger age.
But what is the solution? If I had to ask you, where does it start? Is it taking the phone out the kid's hand? I mean, what is it?
The solution is having that interdependency where the parents give kids a voice, but not too much voice, at home. And they're not looking and reaching for other stuff. Okay? It's a tough one. It's really tough because society has given our kids too much voice. You know how back in the day we got disciplined. There's no discipline at home nowadays. Because, you know, the society says you can't put your hands on kids. You can't discipline your kid.
So are you a firm believer in whoopings? Like back? Because I got to be honest with you. I remember we talked about the whole Adrian Peterson conversation. I got whooped when I was a kid. And it served me well, to be honest with you. If I did something wrong, I'll never forget, James. I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to relate to you here. Because I remember I did something bad when I was little. I don't know what I did. I probably was picking on my little sister or something like that. And I remember my grandmother saying, go in that backyard and pick out a switch and bring it back in. And you can imagine what took place when I got back in, right?
Oh, I totally understand.
You can't do that nowadays, though. In 2017, it's a different world.
But that is the problem that we're having. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Mm-hmm. Okay? There are certain type of rods. Okay? Back in the day, we got served up. But guess what? We don't have the issues that we have. That was discipline. Because there's a fine line. Don't get me wrong. There's a fine line between discipline and abuse.
Certainly. Okay? I agree.
It's totally a fine line. But what happens is there is no discipline nowadays in the household to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because the kids, like, what you going to do to me? You can't. Once they get to that age. Mm-hmm. Once they get to that age, they like, what you going to do? You can't touch me. Man, I was 17 years old. I mean, no, I was 16 years old, and I wanted to stick my chest out to my dad. He's like, oh, you a man now. I'm like, you know, I was taller than him. Man, I think I woke up a week later. Okay? He didn't go get a belt or nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, but
yeah.
The thing about it is, and that's, I'm not saying that's, I want to, you know, whoop our kids.
It goes beyond that, right?
It goes beyond that. It's what we have to do. Is we have to communicate with our kids. We have to have that interdependency with our kids where they can come to us to talk to us about anything and we not judge them or have be judgmental against whatever they're doing. We have to have that open line of communication because otherwise we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them if we don't have that open line of communication with our kids.
Okay, going back to the foundation of this social media, the topic of social media. How do we, as parents, as a society in general, make sure our kids aren't posting nonsense like we saw from Demetrius Cooper? Because at the end of the day, it was idiotic. But why is it idiotic? Because it blows my mind how many guys I know that I follow on social media, guys I grew up with back in Detroit, they will post any and everything. They're at a party. They're drinking. They're showing off the liquor bottle, and they're jumping up and down. They're cursing on social media. Why do you feel like millennials feel the need to show everything on social media, James? I know it's a tough question to ask because you're not a millennial, but yeah.
But you know what though, I started thinking about this segment, two weeks ago when we first talked about it, and for it to come up right after this happened with Mr. Cooper, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it goes back to our older generation, our parents. Not my generation, okay? Because we didn't have it back when I was coming up. They're seeing what their parents are doing. Because I look at some of the things that people post now, and they're posting some of the ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All their business is out there mm-hmm. for everybody to see. And these kids see it. So they say, hey, if they can do it, why can't I do it?
I want to bring Isaac in right now because I know Isaac is a millennial.
He's a millennial.
We've given our generation this title. I don't know the name millennial even come about. Stephen Colbert joked about this on his show last night. I thought it was pretty funny, seeing as though we're having this conversation on today's show. Isaac, you're on Snapchat. You're on social media, my man. And you go to college with a lot of the millennials, right? Why does this generation share everything, dude? There's a line, right?
There is a line. And it's a pretty clear one in a lot of different terms for me, because even when it's a gray area, there's a question, don't post it. That simple. You shouldn't have to be fetching or fishing for friends when you're 20 years of age. You should have that set right now. Be confident with who you are and everybody you're associated with at that point. I think that a lot of it, like James said, does come down to parenting at the end of the day. If you have a parent who doesn't address you when you post a picture of yourself at a party acting reckless with some friends, that's going to spread. Then that becomes enabled. That the message becomes, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. Just like my older brother does, I can do that too. And that just message pervades through society. So I think it all comes down to you have to stomp it out when it's early. I'm not saying no social media. I have social media everywhere. But even I, as a 21-year-old, if you find me with beer or even any type of liquor or something like that in my hand on social media, I'll give you $1,000 because it doesn't exist. I mean, it's just as simple as watch what you post, watch who takes a picture of you, and just know who you're hanging out with, because it's as simple as our generation's become so enmeshed with online popularity as opposed to just being friendly and knowing who you actually hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
That it's such a blurry line now for everybody between who are my real friends. That's actually a question nowadays.
It certainly is. So, James, from a parental perspective, you're a father yourself. What did you try to do when your young ones were coming up? And do you have one daughter?
I have three stepsons.
Gotcha.
And a son and a daughter.
And a son and a daughter. Yep. So you're a parent,
I'm
man.
I'm a parent. And I'm a grandparent. Three times.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
So what do you do? What did you do as a father and continue to do as a father to make sure that your kids try not to go down that path?
Well, you know, I limited it. Back then, I limited the PlayStation, mm-hmm. you know, the games. They start cutting up and, you know, actually what we did do is on Monday through Thursday, there was no game. Okay? There was no games Monday through Thursday.
I like that.
Okay? After Thursday, they had the game for the weekend till Sunday. But if that Sunday, if they didn't do some of the things they needed to do around the house, they would come home, and guess what? They'd be looking, where are the controls at? Oh, did you take care of your chores and do what you were supposed to do? Oh, well, they're gone for a day. So it's other things to do, because that's the only way to hit them nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know,
take away the things they love, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, because you could sit and, you know, back in my day, I used to love to get a spanking, get it over with, be done with it. Okay? Don't punish me. Don't make it so I can't go outside and play football, play basketball that for a week. That's worse.
Right.
Get the punishment over with.
Exactly.
Okay, the spanking, I'm done.
You endure that for 10 minutes,
yeah.
And then you still can go back to your regularly scheduled programming,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, you know, and not saying that I'm right or wrong, you know, but that's what I tried. Not, you know, because there is no handbook to parenting. There is no handbook to the millennial kids, okay? But what we have to continue to do is reach out for help. do what we're doing now, talking about it, discussing it, because it's a tough one, especially when we start getting, when the kids start getting to where Mr. Cooper is. You hear me? They have to make choices. And I noticed something. Kids are at the 18 and under are irrational. They respond irrational. This statistics shared. They respond irrational. But that's why we have to have that interdependency, so the kids have their parents that they can talk to, so they don't respond to certain things.
Mm-hmm. So they don't kind of rebel, right? And kind of tune the parent out. There has to be that relationship there, while also you can't be the friend, you know, to the kid. You can't be their best friend. There has to be a relationship there, though, where they feel comfortable with coming to you and talking to you about certain things. So
you took the words out of my mouth, because I've used that before. I am not your friend. I've told my daughter that. I've told my sons that. Okay? I'm your parent. Mm-hmm. I'm not your friend. Now, my 27-year-old and 32-year-old, actually all my kids now, they're of, you know, the youngest is 18.
Mm-hmm.
We can be friends now. Once you're 21, you're doing your own thing, paying your own bills. Now we're friends, mm-hmm. okay? Because I've laid that foundation. But they're going to still make choices, and they have to deal with their choices.
Love it. James Moore, folks. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you have any comments about this said topic that James is tackling in the premiere of the swap meet right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. James, before we hit our final break, final thoughts on this topic?
You know, I just want everybody to understand that social media is kind of destroying some of our kids now. So let's just be aware of what's going on with our kids. Tap into their social media and get their passwords. Check it out. See what's happening. Because that's what it's all about, knowing what's going on. Hey, and I want to thank you guys for allowing the swap meet to premiere here. And this is the first of, hopefully, a long-lasting relationship and segments.
I love it. Great first topic as well. And again, to kind of piggyback off that before we close out this and go into the second break. I mean, how many kids have we seen commit suicide due to? Because bullying doesn't leave you anymore now. I mean, it used to be back in the day, you get bullied at school. Cool. That's just at school. I can go home and that can be my getaway, right?
Done.
Social media, it follows you. You get comments. You get direct messages. It can be very detrimental. And a lot of kids just can't deal with it. And sadly, in their lives. James Moore, thank you so much. Brilliant first segment. Appreciate it, my man.
Hey, thank you.
It's our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting about the Kentucky Derby and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. Been a great one. We just finished up a premiere segment here on Current Sports. The swap meet with James Moore, former MSU football great and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. He tackled the motivational and inspirational and informative subject, I guess you can say, of social media and what we can do as a society to make sure that our youth are not abusing those social media rights. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Why not? Let's go right into Reflection Friday, Isaac. We only got 4 minutes left, so let's hit that right now. All right, I first want to get this off my chest, Isaac. I mean, you know, we're both NBA fans, but watching so far this second round has been, it's been atrocious to watch, dude. I mean, I tried to sit there. Yeah, thank you. Right. I sat in front of my television, dude, and I'm sitting there like, when is this game going to get competitive? And remember that first game between Washington and Boston? It went to overtime.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, a great game. And, you know, the drama with, you know, Isaiah Thomas losing his tooth. And, you know, he goes for 50 on his, you know, his late sister's birthday. And then with game three, it's like, what in the world is this? What am I watching? So I've just been so ticked off, man. Watching the second round of the NBA playoffs. But again, when I see stuff like this happen in the NBA playoffs, I always remind myself that at the end of the day, the NBA finals is probably going to come down to the Warriors and the Cavs, and it's probably going to be a great series, and that's all we will remember about the playoffs. That, oh man, last year's playoffs was great. Remember the finals? They don't even think about what led up to the finals, right? So I had to get that off my chest, and also the Kentucky Derby. Oh, I love the Kentucky Derby. It's one of my favorite moments in sports, watching some of the best horses in the world go at it. I'll be glued to my TV watching that tomorrow.
One thing I can talk about, and it's an utter disgust, is $495 for Lonzo Ball shoes. It is a horrible message for all of society, really, because basketball shoes aren't just things you put on your feet. I mean, people actually do get killed for these things. These are a commodity in the world that is unlike any other phenomenon we've seen. Basketball shoes are someone's identity. And to charge $495, you're perpetuating the problem. And then, let's just keep it real. It's stupid. Nobody's going to buy these $495 for some things that look like they came out of a dumpster.
I tell you what,
some people will.
Oh, I'm sure. There are a lot of idiots in this world we live in, right?
It's so aggravating to me because it came out of a dumpster. That's what it looks like. They're terrible shoes. Not even going to be the quality of Hyperdunks. And all I can think of is Stephon Marbury rolling over in China because those $15 shoes that he sells, the $30 shoes he sells, the $50 shoes he sells, all philanthropically, man, now that's going to waste. The opposite direction is being taken, and honestly, it's an embarrassment for me.
It certainly is, and to briefly put it into context, again, these prices are adjusted for inflation, especially with the Jordans, but the Air Jordan 1s that came out in 1985, those were $145, right? You look at the Kobe's, the KB8s that came out in the 90s. Those were $151. The LeBrons, the very first LeBrons in 2003 were $145. The Marberries were $18, right? And then you look at the situation with, and also the Steph Currys. I want to bring up the Steph Curry ones as well. Ugly shoes, though. But those were $123, and these are also ugly. The balls, the ZO2s. I can't believe it. Again, $495. Just to put that into context, some of the best players to ever play the game, their debut shoes were nowhere near this amount. All right, again, folks, Kentucky Derby. A lot of people are asking who's the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. Classic Empire, as well as Always Dreaming at 4-1 odds. Folks, we'll see you on Monday. Thanks for listening. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.